Company Podcast. Visit www.webcomics.co.
Hello and welcome to the Webcomics Company Podcast, episode 24. And today we're talking about DC Comics' relaunch in digital comics, what digital comics mean to everyone, and whether it's going to change anything for the webcomic market. We have with us today three fantastic... I'll start again. We have with us four people, but three of them are fantastic. It's Luke Healy from SwannyNook.com. Luke Sell from LukeSell.com.
I'm the fantastic one, I swear.
Yeah, Luke Sell from LukeSell.com. Matt Dyson from Mukio at Mukio.com. And I'm Zoe Kirk Robinson at ZoeRobinson.com. Let's get straight
if
into it.
If you want to choose which one of us you don't think is fantastic, send your answer in on the postcode and we'll tell you if you're right in the next episode.
Yes, mailbag at webcomics.co.
Please don't do that. So should we describe first what DC have done, in case people don't know?
Yes, certainly should. Go ahead.
DC have decided that they are relaunching a lot of their universe, in a way. They are doing, later towards the end of this year, 52 brand new number one issues. It's uncertain to what point they're resetting continuity, but apparently some continuity will be reset. This also includes new costumes for a lot of the characters. And one of the interesting things that it includes is DC, for the first time in any of the major publishers' histories, will be releasing digital copies of their comics on the exact same day that the paper copy hits brick-and-mortar comic book stores. This is a huge, great big thing, because while digital copies have come out before from the big titles, they've been greatly delayed, and they haven't been across the board on all the issues, and they've been very patchy, to say the least. So, yeah, it's essentially a game changer. So we're going to be discussing from there.
I'd like to start off by saying they're relaunching, they're starting with number one, and they're definitely putting out these on the same day as a print. Does that mean that there will be print copies of these new characters? Because the way I read it originally was this was going to be an entirely new web-related world, and it would have continued separately.
No.
Right, so you can actually go out and buy a physical copy of these comics.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think they're probably still expecting that to be, at least at the moment, their primary primary outlet. But
yeah.
The digital thing is interesting, and the question is, will this just be contained within the sort of the DC world and the people who buy superhero comics, or will this have some impact for better or worse on the rest of us?
I'm not convinced that it will have an impact, well, not for the foreseeable future anyway, on web comics, because it's a digital comic rather than a web comic.
I think it will make exactly no difference whatsoever to people who already do their business online, especially those of us like ourselves who work on the webcomics business model of putting their comic out for free and then making money from books and merchandise. I think we're just going to do business as usual and keep going.
I disagree actually really strongly with that, because I think, you know, at the very least, it'll create another avenue for comics distribution. Like, for example, people are becoming more and more familiar with buying books on digital readers, right?
Oh, yes.
So, you know, that's a huge thing. It's you know, it's not going away. It's not a fad. This is how people are going to be consuming literature in the future. Not exclusively, obviously they'll still be physical books, but you know what I mean. It's only going to get bigger.
Oh yes.
So what DC offering their comics on these readers is doing is it's creating an environment where people are becoming familiar with buying and reading comics on stuff like this. So for example, if I finished out an issue of Swanee Nook, or you know, say what DC comics are about 30 pages long, if I finished out 30 pages and I wanted to release that as a comic on one of these readers, it would be far more familiar for people to be looking through a web store and buying it for them. I think that could make a huge difference, yeah, potentially.
Well, they're not really changing anything doing that. People already do that. It's just that they're deciding to come into the game, and they're the first of the main readers that are putting the big publishers, being them, Marvel, etc., that are actually getting into it. I'm already in the process of putting Moon Keogh books 1, 2, and 3 on the Nook and Kindle store. I know a few other people that already do it. There are other webcomics people that do it. They're not really changing anything. They're just jumping on a bandwagon.
Yeah, but do you not think that DC releasing all of these really popular mainstream comics on it will not draw comic readers who haven't been using it so far?
Of course it will. It will increase that revenue, but they're not changing anything.
I'm not convinced. Sorry, go ahead, Luke.
I have three different scenarios which could play out. I think the main thing I find interesting is back when I really first became interested in webcomics, and when I put out something which has thankfully now disappeared from the internet because it was absolutely dire. But this was about 2005, 2004-ish. There were people who made comics, put them in the internet, but charged them. And that was, at the time, really the webcomics business model hadn't really been established. Whether it's been established now is still questionable. But there were people who were trying to find out whether that could work. And basically that has failed for what we consider to be webcomics. I'm wondering whether this will, as Luke was saying, revive that and make that more viable as people go, I am prepared to pay a certain amount for comics at the point of delivery, rather than paying through seeing adverts or occasionally clicking a flatter button. The other thing I was wondering is if you might start seeing sort of capes and capers, the DC type comics. People start making free versions of those using the same model as before, but try and lure people away from DC. It goes, well, why are you reading Superman for $3 a pop when I'm putting out this for free? And so we might see more people do, because we don't have that many superhero webcomics. It's actually most people who, as far as I'm aware, I'm not a big fan, but we don't have many of those around, so maybe we'll start seeing an explosion of that. The third scenario, which... I'll stop talking in a second. The third scenario, which might be interesting, is that if DC... This is a roaring success for DC, whether they start expanding to include things other than their usual fare, which they have done through things like Vertigo, and they've published some things which don't have people in capes flying around, whether they'll expand online and essentially become an online syndicate. And we could see a revival in the syndicate model, but online, and under the banner of DC, Vertigo, Dark Horse, those sorts of people. And we might start seeing some smaller publishers, like Self-Made Hero and stuff, following suit and becoming... And we could start seeing webcomics start becoming under publishing houses and syndicates-like systems. I do not know, but I find it quite interesting. And now I will stop.
It's definitely interesting, and I have to admit, I am going to be watching this with interest, but my biggest problem is, yeah, great, they're coming in, they're putting out their comics, and you'll be able to get them on the day of release, but you can only rent them. Because this is using that Comixology thing, which is the same thing that Marvel pulled titles from when they accidentally released them too early. So you're paying money for something that basically you don't own, and that's the big problem.
But this, like, I mean, this isn't a new way for people to do online business. like if you use iTunes or if you use Xbox Live Arcade or anything that, especially a lot of game downloading services, stuff like this has happened a lot, and it's terrible. Don't get me wrong, I'm not supporting it, but I think that people are going to be, since, you know, this isn't like a new way of doing business online, I think people are pretty tolerant towards that kind of thing. You know, it's annoying, but people are just going to go with it. I don't know if it's going to be a huge problem.
Yeah. I think people buy books through Amazon Kindle are probably unbeknownst to them are actually Amazon can press a button and delete their copies if they want to. I don't think it's going to stop people. I think it may, like I said, it's maybe a pretty nasty thing, but I think I don't think that's actually going to put the brakes in the whole shebang.
Yeah, you're probably right. I'm probably one of those very few people who looks at it and goes, I want to own it if I buy it. A lot of people will look at it and think, well, I've paid to read it and I've read it. But I am still of the mentality of the superhero comic collector who sits and has a shelf full of comics, and that's what I like.
It doesn't really appeal to the collectors' markets.
No.
Yeah.
But I mean, the people who are going to be reading these things online, you know, that's probably not going to be their biggest demographic.
Yeah.
You know, like this will be a big thing for like parents who own Kindles and they can buy comics for their children to read.
That's a good point. Yes.
That'll be a big thing for them. And I would be amazed if DC didn't start pushing some family friendly titles on this.
Well, to be honest with you, all DC titles are family friendly. It's the Vertigo stuff that's mature readers.
It's stuff that's very PG, rather than, you know, Batman's PG-13. I mean, Batman beats up people.
Well, yeah.
I presume, you know. Like, I mean, it's not, like, overtly sexual or anything, but, you know, there's violence in all these DC comics, I'm sure.
That's a weird thing, isn't it? Parents are more happy to let their kids read about violence than sex.
That is a weird thing.
Yeah, you can't show a kid a picture of two people who love each other very much. But you can show to a kid a picture of two people who hate each other a lot.
Yeah, people are weird about sexual stuff. I used to work in a shop that sold DVDs, and we used to get in English DVDs, and we'd have to change them to the Irish rating stickers, and our way of telling was looking on the back, and if it said sexual content, then we bumped it up an age rating.
Wow.
Yeah.
Matt, you're actually in the process of preparing Moon Keo for reader formats.
Yes.
Do you think that's going to be fairly big?
If I'm being honest, one of the main reasons I'm doing it is to be there, if you know what I mean. It's a case of something difficult to get things formatted for that. So if it's not amazingly difficult, I may as well do it, and then if any of my readers would like to do it, then it's fair enough. And the Amazon store, the Amazon Kindle store, and the Barnes & Noble Nook store, really quite simple to submit to. I'm doing it because it's easy and I can, and another potential revenue stream is always a good thing.
What are you charging for? What would you charge, and how? And would you put them out essentially as your books as you're selling them?
I'm changing them slightly because, of course, a lot of these readers are in black and white, and my stuff is heavily in colour. So I'm playing around with them so they look a little bit better in grayscale, and I'm changing them around a little bit just so that they fit the screens a little better as well. And price-wise, I'm doing what I honestly believe in and pricing it underneath the value of the actual book by a significant amount because I don't incur the costs. I'll probably be doing it around the 99 pence, 59 pence, or whatever it is, route. I'm yet to make a solid decision, but probably around the 99p stage.
I would very much say don't do that. as a I'm a book publisher myself, and I've spoken to a lot of people who publish online, and the biggest problem that we find is if you go for the £99.99 route, you'll get a lot of sales, yes, but you'll also get a lot of complaints, because there's a certain mentality of person who won't pay more than a pound or won't pay more than a dollar for ebooks, and they are incredibly anal and critical about every single thing. They will mark you down for anything that they decide is wrong in their little mind, and you will end up with a much in all seriousness, you will end up with a much lower rating on your products than if you put it up for $1.50.
It's interesting.
It's definitely worth consideration.
Yeah.
See, Matt, I think this this DC thing is going to end up, well, could, I'm not going to be make statements or categorical statements, but I think it could end up like being a big thing for you, because your comic is very family friendly, and you know, if kids at home get used to browsing through these stores and going to their parents and saying, can I buy this, can I read this, you know, they're looking through it and they see, you know, like a picture or a cover image or whatever, that's, you know, that's the kind of thing that could really end up changing the game for a comic like ours, or like even a comic like mine, you know, they're like, mine is very safe to be read by kids, and it's got like colorful cartoonish imagery, you know, this, if the way people shop online changes, or if the way people, if like kids can browse stuff online changes, it could really mean like a lot bigger audience.
I don't disagree with you. I don't think it's necessarily DC that making the change here. The change has already been made. And I know it's the general statistics for books as well as anything, but the fantastic situation now is that Amazon this year is making more sales of books, of digital ebooks, than it makes of physical books. That's astounding. That's absolutely astounding, and it's a huge change in the paradigm where people, I used the word paradigm, the way people buy books. People have never bought digital books like this in the past, and when the readers came around, when the Kindle came around, people thought, yeah, some of the more tech-savvy people will buy it and probably get a few books like that, but it'll never catch on in a full mainstream way, and it is doing. And I think the changes are already being made, and as I said, I don't think DC coming into the market will hurt it, and I think it will probably end up helping it, but I don't think they're the ones that are changing it. I just think they're the ones that are coming in with the tide.
Yeah, I think though there really needed to be a major comics publisher coming on board with this to make it kind of a dent.
Oh yeah,
for comic producers,
it was going to happen sooner rather than later though, and if it wasn't DC it'd have been Marvel.
Yeah, I have to admit they are legitimizing it to a certain extent. And that,
Marvel already do a subscription-based service for all their digital comics on Marvel.com.
They do,
It's something that they started a couple of years ago, and I actually have in the past subscribed to it. They're slowly but surely digitizing their entire comics archive. They're just coming at it from a different angle to what DC have done in this. Everybody's looking into it. It's just that DC jumped on the bandwagon in a big, glitzy publicity way.
Well, I have to admit, now that you mentioned the Marvel thing, 2000 AD started doing, I think it's a click-through or something like that. They've had the weekly issue of 2000 AD on iPod since 2001.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I've never read it, though, so I can't comment on its quality. But I still get the print version. It comes to me through the post.
I don't even think that iPods had colour screens in 2001.
They didn't. That's why I didn't look at it.
Oh dear. Oh double dear. So yes, what were we double talking about? Comics?
Comics.
I'm excited that it might mean that essentially people will start paying for non-physical comic content. Because you could just about, basically, at the moment, web comics, the number of people in the UK who support themselves on webcomics is about 6. I probably could name them.
Wow, you think it's that high?
Yeah, I can't even think of more than two.
I think of 1, 2, 3 Philip, maybe 4.
I'm one of those people described somebody I quote a lot, and I'm probably going to start getting letters of saying that I shouldn't talk about John Allison that much, but he described it as the race to the bottom. I think he's actually quoting somebody else. He described it as a plumber comes in to fix your pipes and then tries to sell you a sandwich. And that's the current business model. And the fact that there are so many people producing comics, but so few people actually making a living out of webcomics, making a living out of it. I say that I don't think it works. We've undercut each other to the extent that 4 people in the UK can make a living out of webcomics. And so the idea that we can start, if there is a format, gentry readers, where people will be prepared to pay for newspapers, which people are doing. They're starting to download copies of the Times, of the Telegraph onto their readers. It might be that people will start buying web comics online, and that excites me. And it might mean that we have to start. Actually, these people are important. The people who are getting their readers now, because. If somebody gives, is actually going to give you some money, they're far more important than somebody who. This sounds terrible and mercantile, but it's true. If somebody's actually going to give you some money, they're far more important than somebody who is.
Oh no, of course they are. There's nothing. It's one of the big things. I believe there is nothing wrong with wanting to make money from your webcomic.
And definitely not. Yeah.
There are so many people out there that will turn around to you and say, if you start talking in a business-like manner, or I do this because it will make me more money, I do this because it gives me a better chance of making more money out of it. There are so many people that will turn around to you and say, well, that's cruel, you should do it for the love of it. It's like, I do it for the love of it. But if I want to mix, you know, there's nothing wrong whatsoever with making money from it.
Exactly. Like, all the work that goes into, you know, webcomics, it has value.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And, like, the quality is there. I mean, there are some comics that are just, you know, stunningly beautiful, excellent reads, and, you know, these people aren't making a penny out of it.
People are prepared to pay for comics. I mean, there are about 4 people in the UK who make a living out of web comics, but comics without the web prefix in front of it, there are dozens, hundreds, yeah. Probably. There's probably 2000 AD is down the road from where I live. There's a whole load of people making living out of comics. There's up in Scotland. There's sort of the Beano, there's Dundee and things. And then there's all these go to these comic shows. There's Self-Made Hero and loads of people who are selling physical copies. And people are prepared to pay for comics. But we haven't yet. This could be the point where people start paying for digital comics. And we can start reaching these people with digital content, self-published content. That excites me. So I am very, and I like to think that DC have this switch where DC has offered that business model, which should some more legitimacy. Maybe it won't work. Maybe it'll go down the pan.
I have to say. Sorry, go ahead.
I know. I just hope that it can change the game a bit.
Yeah, I agree. I hope that it works. I really do, because I'm looking at when Inkproof Canon relaunches and comes back. I'm thinking of going down the digital comic route instead of having it all on the web. I would have one. A full story of each of the storylines, and then if you want to read more, the digital copy is available and you can read it as an ongoing thing. But at the moment I've been thinking, well, will that work? Do I have to put my work on the web for free and then try and sell physical copies, or can I go down the digital comics route and see if that'll actually pay for it? Because it's a lot of work and I can't justify it if I have to take up a huge amount of my time for effectively for free. So I do want this to work. but I'm iffy about the way they do it, because when I make a digital comic and I sell it to you, you will own that digital copy. And I keep coming back to this. When I get a music thing off Amazon, if a song or an entire album, I own that copy. They can't just go, oh, we've released it too early, you can't have it. Because it's there, it's mine now, I've made a CD of it. I don't have the same thing with the current things of Marvel and DC.
I think that more than, you know, DC offering comics for digital distribution, I think that the more important thing is what it represents, which is, like, for small press people like us, we can essentially become our own publishers, because there's no startup cost, or at least the startup cost is very minimal,
yeah,
for publishing on one of these devices. So all we really need now to make this a push and to make this work is some kind of storefront. A place where, you know, at some point in the future, maybe, and look, like, I enjoy putting my stuff online for free, so this isn't, you know, this isn't what I'm saying, is that I hate putting online for free, but it has to eventually reach a point, if small press digital publishing is to become viable, it has to reach a point where we don't have to provide a free online copy, and then people can look at that and say, okay, I want it digitally. There has to be a way that they can, like walking into a shop and being able to thumb through, or to be able to look at the cover and the description and the ratings, and then buy it.
Mm-hmm.
Which is the real element, for me, that I think is missing from this kind of, I guess, this kind of business market. I've just lost the words.
No, well, essentially, it's not risky. It's things like Comixology. It's there. It's just whether we want to use it or not.
Yeah, there is that. But I am having trouble getting past the idea that I effectively rent the comic. If I buy something, I want to have a copy, and then to know that some other person can't go, oh, we've decided to discontinue that, so now you can't read what you've paid for.
Mm.
That, to me, is a big thing, that it's the stumbling block for legitimacy of this new market.
Yeah, but you're thinking now as a customer of DC, but whereas maybe I'm more in the mindset of a publisher, where, you know, I know that I wouldn't take stuff away from people.
Yeah, as a publisher myself, I will produce a comic, and you can download that comic, and you will have that comic. So, and I know exactly what you mean. The preview is what you need. Because if you go to iTunes or you go to Amazon, you can get a short snippet of the song that you're going to download. If you go to Amazon, you can have a look at a few pages of their digital books. So you can decide, do you actually want this? They need the same thing with these comics, which is why when Inkproof Canon relaunches, there will be an entire storyline that's up on the web, and you can have a look at it, and you can see whether this is something you're interested in, and then buy the rest.
I think the really exciting thing for me is that, you know, this is such a new way of doing things, that, you know, we as producers who are maybe, you know, I think it's fair to say that we all work hard on what we make, and,
yeah,
and you know, we're all proud of it. You know, it's at some point, it's going to be our turn to step up and try and make these ways of distributing our comics work, or to try and create our own ways. You know, like, it's all well and good to try and lean on what other people are doing, but, you know, it's soon enough, it's going to be our turn to push the envelope, and mm-hmm. gotta try it out, guys. Oh my gosh.
True. I want it to work, I really do, but I'm just looking at these pictures, and are these the artists that they're going to be using?
Oh, it's sad, isn't it?
Because I'm looking...
For a little bit of context, before we started recording, we spent about half an hour looking at the redesigns of DC, of the DC reboots, and I'm not a big Cape the Superheroes fan, but you guys were not that impressed.
No, I'm just looking at this picture of Superman. The one where he's wearing the jeans and t-shirt, that's not bad.
I'm a lumberjack and I'm okay. I sleep all night. I got distracted there for some reason.
That picture to me is fine. The one underneath it, and I'll link these in the show notes as well, of Superman rising through some flames, lifting up part of the Daily Planet. Well, Have a look at him. His body is stretched and his legs don't attach to his hips properly.
And he's borrowed Tony Stark's boots.
Hasn't he?
Yeah, he's got robot boots.
But my biggest problem is, look at the length of his torso.
All of these are just... I don't want to say dreadful, because they're not quite that bad, but there are some serious problems going on in all of these pictures.
Yeah, the Supergirl...
Supergirl has a wonky-shaped head.
The Supergirl head is wrong.
Supergirl's head is wrong. Catwoman's leg. Oh, my God.
I know, it's
Catwoman's leg cannot be on the scene. And the Green Lantern is well endowed.
Yes, the Green Lantern with his gun that's in front of his knob.
Yeah. Like, it's so... Like, there's no way they could have put it there by accident and just... No, it's too...
Is yeah. that a semi-automatic in your pocket, or are you just pleased about the reboot?
A bit of both. And again, Superman, in that Justice League picture, look at the length of his torso.
Oh, no.
I'm sorry, but I do better art than that.
Yeah. I don't know.
In the reboot, are they going to make Aquaman less than useless? Yeah, sorry, any more than useless, rather.
Well, he can't get any worse, can he?
Really, no. Can they just, like, just tell the truth and call him T-Boy?
That's all he's really useful for. You guys are talking.
I've lost it. I just...
Aquaman is basically the most useless superhero that ever existed.
Yes, he's a superhero that could talk to fish.
That sounds power. Andy. but seriously, I don't know. I in general, find, like, superhero art really unattractive.
Yeah,
it's not appealing.
Historically, I'm a huge Spidey fan, you see, so I can't really like Super's art. It's just got to be I don't know, it's got to be done in a certain way. I was always a Marvel fan. It's really easy for me to rip on DC.
I like DC. I do like superheroes. It's part soap opera, it's part action. It's got a lot going for it if you want that kind of thing. But my biggest problem with this is these characters look awful.
They do. Whoever designed these should be ashamed of themselves.
And a lot of what appeals for me, anyway, for superheroes, is the visual element. It's escapism. It looks great. It looks different. It's dynamic. These characters don't look dynamic.
They're too busy, all of them.
Yes, they're far too busy.
Okay. We've run out of time.
The robot went off.
Yeah, sorry, we got into rant mode. Okay, so let's wrap this up. Thank you for...
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening to the Webcomics Company podcast. Matt Dyson of Ruin Kier.
One at a time.
I'll just say...
Alright, Luke first, then
Matt. You go. I will say my thing as I say my name.
Okay.
I'll sit in the corner and shut up.
What were you saying, Matt? Come on.
Hello.
Okay, Oh my God, no, it's happening. Okay, I've been Luke Healy of SwanieNook.com.
Matt.
I'm sorry, you've broken me.
That's Matt of Mukio.com.
Yeah, I'm Matt Dyson, laughing in the corner of Mukio at Mukio.com.
I'm Luke Searle of LukeSearle.com. I was just going to say that if you have any opinions on our prophesizations for the online webcomics and online comics and digital comics, drop us a line through webcomics.co.
Yeah, and I'm Zoe Kirk Robinson of The Life of Nobty Mouse, Britain's first webcomic, and All of the House, which isn't Britain's first webcomic, and you can find links to all of those at zoerobinson.com.
Is it really Britain's first webcomic?
It is. I looked it up, and I was the first from Britain.
Bravo.
Thank you.
So, I feel so privileged. It's such an illustrious company right now.
Yeah, and I still can't make a living off it.
Can I get your digital
try the nook, try the nook.
Definitely. I'm going to have to look into that, because I agree. We should be able to make money off our work. But anyway, you've been listening to the Webcomics Company podcast. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next week.
We will.
Bye. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the Webcomics Company podcast.
See you in 2 weeks' time.
I suck at talking over people.
Oh, don't worry about it. We get there in the end. The message is out there. And oh my goodness, is that Robin?
Yeah.
I've just seen the I've just seen the picture for Young Justice. Are they serious with these? For goodness sake, his cape looks like it's made out of feathers.
Lick it.
Oh, for goodness sake, this is just awful, awful, awful. I'll quickly copy the URL of the image and stick it over there.
They've really taken the Pokemon route of updating the characters, where instead of making them like all friendly and good, they've become robots.
Effectively, yeah, but Young Justice looks like they've grabbed a copy of something like Nemesis the Warlock and gone, we like the mess, we like all these weird lines all over the place for no reason.